Zeal.
I like that word. Zeal.
It sounds like a brand of shoes that get you to run faster. I put on my no zeal shoes, right? It sounds like a breakfast bar that gives you some energy for the day. Just take a bite of zeal to start your day. It sounds like a car that has incredible new technology to help someone be safer and get better technology, or better fuel economy, sorry. Like, you know, drive the zeal. It'll get you there quicker and with less gas, or whatever it is. It sounds like a blog entry talking about a young attendant who was about to succeed the prophet he served. I wrote something about zeal this week on my online diary, my weblog, my blog. And in this week's Bible reading, Elijah and Elisha. There's a tongue twister right there. They're two different people, Elijah and Elisha. So we got Zha and Sha. They were traveling together, and Elijah wanted some time to prepare for his whirlwind retirement adventure. That's what I'm calling it. Elisha wouldn't let him out of his sight. He didn't want to miss an opportunity to be the next prophet. See, Elisha was really just Elijah's attendant. He walked with him, took care of things. He just was with him all the time. It sounds a little bit like, I know it's all dressed in religious terms and stuff, but it sounds a little bit like Elijah just wanted some me time. It's like, you know, Elisha, I need some me time. And Elisha says, no, I will not leave you. And then Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of whatever he had going for him. Elisha had zeal. He was going for it. There are many reasons to think that Elisha was a zealous assistant who would take his role as the next prophet very seriously. See, Elijah was a super prophet. No other way to describe him. I mean, he was the superest. I don't even know if that's a word. Is superest a word? I just made it up and said it, so now it's a word, right? He had caused the rain to stop for 3.5 years. I mean, just said, rain stopped for 3.5 years, and it stopped raining. That's in 1 Kings 17. He called fire down from heaven several times, but once in 1 Kings 18. He brought the rain back after the 3.5 years. That's in 1 Kings 18 as well. He did a whole bunch of people get killed prophet things, you know, where fire comes and people die. That's, I don't know, that's not so much super, at least in my mind there. But, you know, to the people who are reading the Bible then, people writing the Bible then, these are super, supernatural things. In this week's reading, he parted the waters. Sounds a little bit like someone else parting the waters, right? He just stuck his mantle down, waters parted, he and Elisha walked across. And then Elisha became a super prophet after this. Because right after this, Elisha put the mantle down in the water and parted the waters. Elisha was already up on his whirlwind retirement. He healed Naaman, who was a big to-do who had leprosy. And we're going to talk more about that next week, actually. He made an axe head float. Someone was chopping wood, and the axe head broke, and the axe, you know, it was in a pool of water, and Elisha threw something in the water, and the axe head came up. He said, take the axe head and fix your thing. Let's keep going. He brought back the sight of the entire Syrian army, after he had taken away the sight of the entire Syrian army. Elisha was a super prophet too. Although, whereas the vision of Elijah is this big, you know, burly man, probably very hairy and looking very good, the vision of Elisha isn't quite that. There's also reason to believe that Elisha wasn't necessarily just so zealous as he was afraid and self-conscious and saying that if I leave Elijah now, I'm not going to get my chance. I'm going to be passed over for somebody who's probably more worthy. There's a little bit in the Bible to suggest that this self-conscious nature is true. One time, and it's really right after he became the super prophet now, there were a bunch of children. Some people have said that, no, these were 12 to 30-year-old men or something like that. But the Bible does say children. There are a bunch of people there. And they were making fun of Elisha by saying, hey, Baldy, And Elisha didn't like that, probably because he was bald and didn't like that people were calling him Baldy. And so instead of saying, "You stop it there," or parting the waters, he called a she-bear out of the woods and it mauled 42 boys. Yeah, that's not really nice or anything. He probably reacted a little bit harshly. And I've actually read some stuff this week where someone tries to explain it away. Well, this is really God's power in action that the bear came and killed, and because the people were really making fun of God because they were making fun of God's prophet. And as I was reading, my mind was going, oh, please. He sicked a she-bear on a bunch of boys. Not a good thing. It's in the Bible, though. Let's just leave it in there. But I think it shows that he was self-conscious at the very least. So, was Elisha a young, zealous prophet in waiting? Or was he a self-conscious, fearful prophet wannabe? Any votes? Does it matter, really? See, leaders come in all shapes and all sizes. Leaders come from all walks of life. Leaders come with all kinds of gifts and shortcomings. Leaders succeed. Leaders make mistakes. And the Bible is filled with leaders who fail. The Bible is filled with leaders who aren't larger than life, but rather they're real people. We look at them sometimes as larger than life. You look at Elisha, all the things that he did, but Elisha was a flawed human being who did great things because God called him to do great things. Gideon, we know him as the guy who gives the name to the Bibles that get handed out, and when we have the Gideons come here. But Gideon, well, the best way to describe Gideon is he's a mama's boy who was afraid to do what God wanted, but he kept testing God. Well, all right, now, God, if you want me to do this, make sure this is wet and this is dry. Okay, you did that. All right, now make this dry or this wet and this dry. And God kept responding, and Gideon finally responded to it. But Gideon was afraid to lead. David, big time guy in the Bible, but I've told stories about him. He seduced a married woman, had her husband killed, made some tremendous mistakes. Moses, you know, the parting of the water guy too, and let my people go and lead them out of bondage in Egypt. He was a murderer, a fugitive, prone to temper tantrums, and was pretty self-conscious. Flawed human being, a leader who God called. Miriam, who's Moses' sister, she's great. You know, she could inspire the crowd. She could get them up dancing and singing, and she's got this whole golden calf thing in her resume, too. Abraham, father of a great multitude. His wife, Sarah, before their names were changed once, and I think once after, he kind of acted like a pimp, and he sent his wife, Sarah, out not once, but twice, to two different men as their wife. See, you don't have to be great or larger than life, or powerful, or successful, or anything that matches the way we usually measure leaders to be a leader seeking God. Because here it is, you and God are enough. That's the measurement. You and God are enough. You and God are enough to do what God calls you to do. You and God are enough to do what God calls you to do and to share your story of faith. You and God are enough to do what God calls you to do and to share your story of faith and to lead others in following God's two rules, to love God and to love everyone. You and God are enough. So how do you know what to do if you and God are enough? See, it's a question that has an easy answer, but also one that can be complicated as we seek God's guidance. The easy answer is measure every bit of advice or inspiration or idea with the yardsticks that we've talked about time and time again. Does it fit the overall theme of the Bible? I'm inspired to do something. Does it fit the overall theme of God creates, we mess up. God redeems, we mess up. God creates something new, we mess up. God rejuvenates, we mess up. And does it fit the two rules? We know the two rules, right? Have I said them enough times that you could just say them without me even asking? What are the two rules? Love God, love everyone. That's the easy answer. How do you know? Measure it by those yardsticks. Does it fit the overall narrative, the overall theme of the Bible? Does it fit the two rules? But then some more complicated thoughts. How do you know if one idea or bit of advice or inspiration that measures up to the yardsticks is better than another that also measures up? What if you're not sure if it measures up? You think maybe it measures up, but you're not sure if it really does because you've played it out and maybe it doesn't. What if you're confused and feel like you're not ready to do whatever it is God is guiding you to do? Well, here it is. Don't be afraid to fail. Great leaders in the Bible failed all the time. Sometimes because they made mistakes. Sometimes because they were going along with what they should be doing and things didn't work out. We, as a church, sometimes we're going to fail. Sometimes we're going to fail because we did it wrong. Sometimes we're going to fail because we did it all right and it still didn't work out. Jesus' disciples and followers failed, and we still fail today. And remember this. It's something that goes against, really, what I said just a minute ago, which was, you know, you and God are enough. But I think there's a way that these two weave together. You are not alone in following God. You are not alone in leading. You are not alone in failure. There's this great cloud of witnesses. Look at that. I'm talking in Bible ease. Such a great cloud of witnesses. There are many, many people who are seeking God and who will be supportive of you. You and God are enough. And God wants us to be in community with each other for support and strength. Does that make sense? Is that woven together? So please don't be afraid to take a bold step in following God and leading others, whatever way that may be. Remembering the words of Abraham Lincoln, right? Whatever you do, do it the best that you can. You and God are enough, and you are not alone in following God. Please don't be afraid to step out to follow God's guidance into something new. Welcome God's guidance. Welcome God's inspiration. Welcome God's strength. Welcome God's love. Embrace God's Spirit, which is this wind of change. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for good news of great leaders. Thank you for good news of your people who succeed and who fail and whom you love. Thank you, God, for your Spirit that inspires us, that moves us, that leads us to something new. Help us not to be afraid to step out, to follow your Spirit, a wind of change. In Jesus' name, amen.